It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, happy Friday to you all here in the Willamette Valley. It is so good to be back again every week. And it's an honor here at 1430 AM KYKN to do Rural Matters. And 4 years on this already. And a lot of programs. And I've had the opportunity to talk to so many great people. Before we get going, I want to pay homage to our segment sponsor, good friend of the program, Tim English, English Realty Group, and located in Dallas, Oregon at 154 Southwest Oak Street in Dallas, Oregon. And you can call Tim at 503-998-3234. Tim has been in the business for over 12 years, has served the Dallas community well in the real estate world. He is with Keller Williams, and Tim knows how to get it done. And Tim is a friend of the program, a friend of mine, someone I respect very much, and is honest beyond words. And I'm so glad to have Tim on our team here at KYKN. And so, Tim, thanks. All right, with me today, a friend from long ago, Anthony Ance Chi Emerson. Hey, are you still in Farmington, New Mexico, Ance?
Yeah, I'm actually about a couple miles away from there.
Yeah,
I go by Anthony Chi Emerson. My friends still call me Ance, especially the ones that I grew up with. Special friends I have. My clans, I'm Diné, which means I'm Navajo from the people. And I want to introduce myself with my clans in Navajo.
Yep.
I am Tatnazani, Tengal people. We say Neshif, myself, my mom's side. And also Ose Tatnazani, or Tachini, Hopi clan on my father's side, Bahaschin. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that because we're going to talk a little bit about where you and I met. But before we do that, Ants, talk a little bit about growing up in the Navajo Nation, where you are there in New Mexico. And talk a little bit about being Navajo, because I could talk to you, and we did, about me being first-generation Dutch or Hollander living in America as well. But share a little bit about your culture growing up, and then we're gonna do a little dive on how you and I met, because it was so great to hear from you when you reached out to me last week. So go ahead, Ants. Take away.
Well, thank you. My parents were actually raised on the reservation, had a very traditional lifestyle growing up, and then they were sent to the boarding schools, the assimilation, to where they went their first few years. My father went to Shiprock boarding school. My mom went to Tualina boarding school. They didn't know each other back then, but they ended up meeting each other in Riverside at the BIE schools there in Riverside, California. They knew each other for a couple of years there, and there was a time when my father didn't register for school at that time, and he had to go to Shamawa, which is in Salem, Oregon.
Which is not far from me. Ants, you just
not far from there.
No, actually, Ants, I got to pause you for a minute. I did not know that part because I drive by there virtually every day, Shamawa, or Shamawa as you pronounce. I had no idea. Go ahead.
And it had a very special place in his heart. So when we had an art show back in 2000 up in Portland, Oregon, and it was a Native American art show, he was asking everybody his age if there was anybody that went to school there, because he wanted to reminisce a few people of growing up in the area. Well, they got married after my father served in the Marines and during the Korean conflict. And they were married and lived in that Los Angeles area from 1948 or when he was in school, and then until 1971, where when I was 9 years old, we moved back to Fort Defiance, Arizona, just right outside of Winter Rock. And that's when I started to attend the Rehoboth Christian School. At that time, it was called the Rehoboth Mission School. And we were there 2 weeks at a time, being in the dorm, living the dorm life. And then also, then eventually it changed to where we got to go home every week. It was a really special time of growing up there at that school, happened to be a Christian Reformed church school, which kind of gives us that little tie there.
It does give us that tie there. And I got to ask you, that's where you met the Postumas. Am I correct there, Roger and Dorothy? And was that that era at that time, Ants?
Yes, it was. It was when I was, it's like 74, when I was seventh grade. That's when he was a ninth grader, and him and his sister, Ardith, Richard Postuma, and his sister, Ardith, had attended Rehoboth, even though that they lived in Zuni, about 45 minutes away, 30 miles away. And they went to school up in that area until he graduated in 77 or 78. And yeah. His sister graduated in 76.
Yeah, they were the first pastoral family that we got to know when our family moved from Southern California to Scio, Oregon, going to Sunny Slope Christian Reformed Church in the, I would say, October of 1967. The Postumas were there. And as you said, they eventually, their calling was to be in and around you. Ants, so you reached out to me, and we're going to get into how you and I officially met, but what was the reasoning for you to call me? And you've been doing this for other folks that you and I know as well. Go ahead and talk about that a little bit. We've got a few minutes.
Well, when I had called you just before that, a few months ago, my art teacher, Elmer Yazzie, who graduated from Rehoboth, also was from the same hometown, Farmington, where I was from. And we've been friends ever since his retirement after being 40 plus years at Rehoboth and teaching. And we keep in contact. And he knew that I was very much a recluse artist. I wasn't really getting myself out there because I was very comfortable with what I was doing in my artwork and also book illustrations. And it's when I started getting the film, he said to me that I really need to reach out to some of the friendships, because he was doing that. He was going back to his 50th year anniversary of graduating from Calvin College in 76. He just did so much. And I said, you know, you're right. I do need to start reaching out. And I just happened to look up Jay Gatzmann, got your phone number, and gave you a call. And just briefly, we talked, and then we talked again. We had some wonderful conversation. And it was really interesting that doing this, you know, you really have to figure out, you know, where you want your life and how you want to be a part of it and not just let it go by. That was one of the reasons why that I decided to start reaching out to different students and also classmates and even to with some of the council delegates. I've been reaching out a lot more than I have in probably the last 20 years.
So in this, how's that helping you? Because you and I had a great conversation, Ants. I enjoyed every minute of it. How's this, is it therapeutic for you? Is it helping you as in the last couple minutes, talk about what it's meant to you so far?
You know, it's been therapeutic, but the most important thing is creating a dialogue. You and I knowing each other for those 2 years, and then even me talking to other people I know, it has really helped me gain an insight of what people are feeling, their feelings, how they're doing, how their family's doing. We both talked about our families. And I think just that reach out to talk, to start that dialogue, to be out there talking about every different type of issue, whatever we want to talk about, whatever part's limited, whatever part's off limited, it still creates an idea of putting two people together and seeing how they both feel or how they both react. I think that's important.
I think it is important, and to have you have reached out to me. And so I'm going to just lay the groundwork a little bit so people are going, well, okay, what's this all about? You and I went to Dort College, Sioux Center, Iowa, which is now Dort University. And coming up this August, Anthony, I hope you're sitting down. It's been almost 46 years when you and I first met. I mean, a lot of time has gone by on that. And Anthony, we've got just a little bit under a minute, and then we're going to do a deep dive going into the next segment. I want you to tell me what your first thoughts were briefly, and then we'll go further on what it was like for you to be in Northwest Iowa back in 1980.
Well, when I got there, I found out that I was probably one of two Native American students that was in a school that had over 1,000 students. That was probably the first realism that I got. I had fortunately gone with a couple of classmates who went to school at Dort, at Rehoboth, and then continue at Dort. So that part made it easier. The part that I had seen that was probably a little more difficult was that the part of where it was very flat.
Yep.
No mountains.
Let's pause right there. Anthony Emerson, out there in New Mexico, friend of mine from school days, Jake Rural Matters. We're going to be right back after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake Rural Matters, Friday. And it is great to be in Oregon this time of year, going literally into the fall. We've got the best weather. 85 degrees, and then it drops down to 60 by the time you go to bed. And the air is great. Humidity is relatively low. And yet, Hunter, we complain about it. Hunter, the producer across the desk from me, we're so weather-minded out here in a kind of a jaded way. But anyway, with me today, a friend, a blast from the past, literally, Anthony Emerson, and from the Navajo Nation, you know, there in New Mexico. Anthony, we finished off the segment of what it was like that for you to come up to Sioux Center, Iowa, to go to what is now Dort University. And you're talking about the geographical trend. Keep going with your thoughts on that, Anthony, and then I'll share you mine.
Well, you know, coming from the place from the Navajo Nation, it's a very beautiful area. You have that red sandstone. You have some of those volcanic type formations that are out there, like Shiprock or Table Mesa. The part that I really had enjoyed was the culture that was here as a Navajo. Our traditions, our fares, our fried bread, our Navajo tacos. I mean, those meals, especially with lamb stew and fried bread, you just can't beat that. To go to Dort College, that it was very different. The food was very different. The smells around there were very different because it was a community that had cattle, had chickens and corn. And you just noticed the difference right away. My parents were worried about if I would miss home. And I did miss home. And they were also concerned about how I would be able to function outside meeting people that I didn't go to school with. And so at that point, you know, when we were first there, I was hanging around my classmates that I had in high school. And it was very fortunate because everybody was very welcoming. That was probably, I met you probably the first day we were there.
Yeah, we did.
And we were in the same hallway. We were on the bottom floor. I had a great roommate named Brad Boer. I was very fortunate to make friends with him right away. It was very different in the way where compared to being at home and being from this area, what we call within the Four Sacred Mountains of us being Navajo and going to a place like Iowa. It was very different. And the fortunate thing is that I still have friends of mine that I met that are from like Sioux City or Sioux Falls. And they asked me, how did you end up in Northwest Iowa?
That was going to be my question for you, Ants. Go ahead.
I said that it was a place where it was talked about from our teachers. We had half the teachers that went and graduated from Calvin College in Grand Rapids, which was a school I was looking at too, because one of my friends from the hometown, Baron Thomas, went to school there, and he was already on his second year if I went over there. And then it was, you know, the classmates I had to go there. I already knew at that time that I want to attend a Christian college. I really want to involve myself with learning a little bit more about our Christian faith, and also being a part of where it could be used in, back in our community at that time.
I love it, Ants. Like I said, 46 years ago next month, and we all, I think, for me, coming from the Pacific Northwest, particularly, you know, Mount Angel, Salem, Oregon, there was a bit of a shocker for me too, Ants, and I was actually used to rural farm life, but rural farm life here in the Willamette Valley, you're so close to a Eugene, Oregon, a Salem, Oregon, or a Portland. And so there are the metropolitan areas that you can hit. And when you're in Sioux Center, Iowa, there in the northwest corner, to take a trip to Sioux City or Sioux Falls, Ants, you got to kind of plan it out. And the winters were very limiting. You're not going to go hit these larger urban towns when you've got 80 mile per hour winds with a minus 20 wind chill, and the snow is howling down. And so you really had to learn to develop to make your own fun out there. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I used to say that the snow doesn't fall down from the sky in Iowa. It moves sideways.
It does. It does. Anthony, you picked the toughest major short of, say, pre-med, and you went with the idea of being an engineer, if I heard you correctly when you and I talked last week. What made you want to do that route, and then what happened to it? Because we need to talk about later on in the program the fact that you are full-on artist. So go ahead and talk about, you gave your reason why you wound up in Sioux Center. Talk about your major, and then what was the deciding factor for you to change your life's calling?
Well, I started off going in as an engineer student and taking the time to take the classes that were recommended. It was very demanding, and it was very hard to get through some of the calculus and also the chemistry. And I knew that I was kind of limited, but I loved math growing up, and I loved the sciences. But I also had a real early desire to be an artist. I was drawing through when I was a young child into junior high to high school. But I actually excelled better at the math and sciences than I did as an artist. I wasn't the best artist at my school. And the part of it was is that I still like to draw. I still like to put, you know, these ideas down and be creative about it. And my first idea was to, if I want to combine the most, I want to be someone who designed toys, someone that was creative, someone maybe even creative in computer graphics or computer science at that time. That's what I thought about, combining these both. But eventually I found out early enough that the road towards engineering wasn't going to be easy or paved with you know, successes, that at that time I decided to go into art, which I decided the second semester. And I was able to indulge myself there at Dort in all the art classes and doing very well in those classes and learning a lot about the theories, the combination, the putting ideas together, coming up more creative. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know what? And if you're doing what you enjoy, you're not going to work. But there's also the other side, the flip side of it. Ants, and your dad said to you, "Yeah, son, that's great. Is this going to put some points on the board? Meaning, you're going to be able to make a living doing this?" We've got 2 minutes, Ants. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, my father who worked in communication and instrumentation had his degree already in that subject. So he was always pushing me towards the engineer and knew that I can do it. But when I told him I wanted to go into artwork and then we both discussed it, he just could not find a way of how I was going to make a living. Am I going to be going table to table selling jewelry or selling, you know, little prints? That's what was going through his idea, because that's what it was at the time.
And so you've taken that, and we're going to talk about this later in the program, where what the level you're at right now, because you're living in a state and in an area where New Mexico and Albuquerque, Rehoboth, Farmington, you know, the places that you are at, gets a lot of publicity. A lot of artists want to be out in New Mexico. They don't call that the land of enchantment for nothing, Ants. And I've been out there. I did a quick run out there back after we met my freshman year, traveling across to Arizona and Nebraska, and, you know, hitting all of the hotspots there. Visiting with Anthony Emerson, a friend of mine from college, reached out to me. We're going to talk a little bit more here after the news. You're listening to Rural Matters. Hang on, everybody. See you in a second.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Rural Matters, hope you're doing great and having a wonderful Friday as roll into the weekend. And again, as I've mentioned before, a great time to be out in the Willamette Valley. Everything is growing right now and the grass seeds being harvested. It's just poetry in motion to watch this action take place. So in and around us here in Greater Salem area, east, west, north, and south. With me today, a friend, a blast from the past, as I said earlier, Anthony Ants Emerson from the Navajo Nation out there in Farmington, New Mexico. And of course, Ants, you get way more than just Farmington to do what you're doing. We're going to talk about your art a little later, and we want to talk about what people can get a hold of it, which I think is very important because I've seen what you've done. I want people need to know, Ants. I mean, you did the deep dive into going to Northwest Iowa, Sioux County, Dort University, and learning about living in, quite honestly, one of the biggest ag counties, areas in America, and if not even in the world in some ways. But talk to us a little bit about how the Navajo Nation works. In a sense of the chiefs and the leadership and where you would fall in to that. Talk a little bit about what that's like, Anthony.
Well, you know, we don't really call them chiefs anymore.
Yeah.
And we don't call them chairmen anymore. We call them the Navajo president. And it's still based on a three system with the judicial and then the consul and also with the president. So it's the part where, you know, it's very much similar to the system we have now. There's 24 council members that represent certain populations of chapters. There's 110 chapters in our Navajo Nation. There is a police force. They have their own enterprises like Navajo Arts and Crafts Enterprise, the NTUA, the electrical, gas, the educational. Everything is divided up very similar to the process we have with the United States. We are going by a certain amount of people now. That I think the last number that we had was just over 400,000 Navajos. I'm even assuming that there's a few that even live in your area that you haven't met, who would be really interested in listening to what's going on as the Navajo Nation. There's a lot of still needs for economic development. There's still a lot of needs for help with education. We don't have enough teachers. We don't have enough businesses. And it's the part of where every day we're trying to work with these problems to make things better. As an artist, you know, for me doing this for 45 years now, it's a lot easier for me to sell or to do my artwork or to do what I do with my paintings, my book illustrations, and our films to try to move ourselves in a really positive direction. We are very much a matriotic system here. Our way we were born traditionally is that the women, the mothers, the grandmothers are the most important part of our system.
I like it. Ants, talk a little bit too about ceremony and you guys have, you know, we all have the calendar, the 365 day calendar. Talk about certain celebrations that people may not know about with the Navajo nation and how much you partake, plus or minus. I'm very curious to hear what you have to say about that, Ants.
Well, we, in our world, we're in the fourth world right now, which is called a glitter world. And according to our creation stories, which are brought up in different parts of, including the first man, first woman, the four directions are very important from the different yays or the deities that are based upon our creation. And that part of where, of how we became and how, who we are and where we're going. The idea for us to be a part of this world that we're in now, what we would say, which would mean the harmony in the making. Everything you're doing is the positive that you can do. And then also the idea of ina, of life, of how important life is with not only us as humans, but also the agriculture, the animals, the insects, everything, the water, the anything that is a part of our nature. It's all a part of putting it all into harmony. We start our creation stories, our stories in the fall. We have an event called the Northern Navajo Nation Fair in Shiprock, which is going over 112, 113 years now, where people bring in their agricultural, very much like a state fair, and they celebrate. And during that time is when the Yeviches or the deities come out to do their blessings. And there's different tribes that do it differently. I know that the Apaches do theirs differently with theirs, but there's a celebration for us, especially as the crops are being picked, and it's all this part of being blessings. Every day, there are Navajos traditional, and what they do is they like to do a corn pollen blessing in the morning just to give thanks to the Creator for what's given. That's a very important part of our tradition that we have, to give thanks every day in our prayers and our thoughts. And also the part of where, you know, the idea of corn, the idea of the root vegetables like carrots, onions, how they're grown and how they made into a stew with lamb. Every part of the sheep, when it's being butchered, prepared for meals, it all use 100% of the whole animal. Nothing is wasted. And that was the one thing that I found that was very fascinating from being growing up like that and then seeing a lot of the ways that, you know, things are wasted.
Yeah. How do you guys, and I mean this with respect, the Navajo Nation, and we have, you know, the Cherokee, should I say nation as well, and the Apache nations. Do you guys, there either in New Mexico or even across America, is there a commingling there? Ants, is there some differences between, let's just say, the three of you guys, the three of your entities? Can you talk about that a little bit? We got a couple minutes left here, Ants.
Yeah, there's a few more in that. What we're considered is Athabascan, Southern Athabascan, and we're related to the Apaches, the Jicarilla, the Mescalero, the San Carlos. There's different tribes in different areas. And then you have what was considered the ancient Pomonian, which you would consider the Hopi, Zuni, along the Rio Grande, with Isleta, Santo Alfonso, Santa Clara. that's a whole different part, and really pretty much the originality of the area, of the original settlers in this area, such as Chaco Canyon. And then when you're talking about the Cherokee, those are mostly the Southeast natives from the areas, such as South Carolina and North Carolina. You have the Seminoles from Florida, and then you have more of the Northwest, like the Ojibwes, Senecas, and that type. And then you have the Plains Indians. A lot of them are from just west of you, that area, the Crow, the Cheyenne, the Sioux, which we were at that time. Yep. So those are very much regional in areas where their cultures are very similar.
Their cultures are similar. So
not to ours, but to each group.
Got it. You know, you mentioned your number of roughly about 400,000. And I don't want to put you on the spot, Ants, with numbers, but how's it with the other, you know, like the other tribe nations that we've talked about the same? What are we looking at for a populace as a whole?
It would be a really sharp drop. I think the Cherokees are number one with a million. And then I think we're down around about that 400,000. And then there's a big drop.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the Pueblos around this area may not have more than 10,000 members.
Yeah.
And some of them are very small in that group where they have more of a governorship than a presidency.
Well, fascinating. Visiting with Anthony Ants Emerson, friend of mine from many years ago. You're listening to Rural Matters with me. Let's hang on. Be back. Final segment with my good friend from a long time ago, Jake. Rural Matters.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, final segment on a Friday. And good to be with you guys. It's always an honor. With me from my college life for 2 years back at what is now Dort University. And the beautiful thing about even a college out in Northwest Iowa, Ants, is that you meet people from all over the place, whether it's Canada, America. And then I know at the time you and I were going back in the early 80s, they were really pushing to step up their foreign involvement of getting students from, you know, the Philippines, I remember. They were working hard on it. And Ants, as you and I were talking last week, I was out at the school last month, the university, I should say. And dude, it's a whole different animal. They've really buffed it up, man. So anyway, that said, Ants, let's talk about what you are doing. When did you start then doing the deep dive into art as not only an expression to express your culture, but hey, this is my calling and I got to make a living out of this. How did it start with you? And talk about the progression that you've been going through.
Well, when I first started off, it was basically just watercolor paintings, very representational. That was like 1981, and I probably sold my first painting that year. And then when I went back to school again, I was doing some more paintings and getting things done, and it progressively became more intimate that this is what I want to do. When I left in 82, I started off at the Gallup Ceremonials, and also the Santa Fe Indian Market in Santa Fe, which is a really big show with nearly probably 2,000 Native American artists there, totally from the whole area, from the Santa Fe Indian Market, the free air, and also the pathways and everything that's going on, film, fashion, everything that's indulged with arts with Native Americans is what's going on there. I when I first was painting, it took about 12 years of doing my artwork, of what I was doing, which was considered a folk art style of Navajo, of the Diné. I would consider it, you know, it's like looking through the eyes of a child. And that artwork, it took a while to get back to being, but not back, start to even being noticed. And at that time, I started seeing and getting more requests about doing artwork. And after doing this for nearly 18 years, I was asked to do a children's book illustration called How the Rattlesnake Got His Rattle. I got First Fire. I got songs of Shiprock Fair. And I started doing more artwork gearing towards illustration. which, you know, kind of got to a point of where, hey, you know, I've been doing this for 15 plus years now. I can actually do this for a living. I think I was telling you this kind of a story where when, you know, my wife and I had been married 40 years, we were married 40 years ago in March. And just to look at her father saying that, how's that guy going to make a living doing his artwork? Yeah. And then also telling you the story about my father saying, you know, how are you going to do anything with art? That's just something for fun. It's a hobby. And I said, Dad, you know, I said, I won't know until I try. And, you know, the Lord has always blessed me. The Creator has always blessed me in the way of where He has taken care of us and in the artwork, selling it, getting to shows, paying all the expenses to go. And it was also a blessing just that I wasn't the only person doing this. There was a young group of artists that were starting in Santa Fe that were getting their work out there, getting into galleries, doing art shows, talking about it, visiting, discussing about it. And it started to grow into, it was such a big movement. If you would see that there was only like about 120 booths at the Santa Fe Indian Market in 1981, and then now there's nearly 600 booths there now, with 1,200 artists there. To be a part of that movement was just a great possibility of being able to share my artwork and getting it out there through illustrations and also paintings. And then even now, touching on the idea that I talked to you about going into films, animated films.
All right, why don't we go ahead and do a little deep dive on that, Ants, because I've got a chance to look at some of your shorts. We've got a little less than 4.5 minutes, so we need to talk about that, and then people need to know how they can get a hold of you.
Okay. About 5 years ago, I was doing these coyote paintings about the creation stories using the two figures of Angry Coyote and Gray Coyote. And so taking that as a form, I thought to myself, what if these coyotes were like a country band or like a contemporary country band, and they're like kids trying to start their business. And it's like this 4-year journey going into this idea of becoming musicians. And I thought to myself, what a reflection on my artwork, because the first 10 years were very stagnant. But the following 10 years started to grow. And the last 20 years, it's really blossomed. And I kind of wanted to tell that story through these coyotes. And in Navajo, the word for coyote is ma'i, the trickster. So I wanted to put this kind of mischievous idea of putting these characters into an animation. And it's grown because we had done our first film over 2 years ago, and it's been accepted into 10 film festivals and has won 4 awards, which I've been very pleased about. Because I tell the story, it took me 12 years to win my first ribbon in artwork. It took me 5 years to win my first award in my children's book illustrations. And it took me 5 months to win my first award in film,
man,
which really surprised me.
You're like condensing it down. The older you get, the better you're getting it done. Way to go there. So keep going, Ants.
You know, so when we talk about it, it's kind of a testament of the work that you put into, and knowing that, you know, we're not professional athletes. We don't have a window of 10, 8, 10, 15 years here. Our goal is to keep ourselves healthy, keep ourselves out there, and then being able to create this great art that kind of falls through as time goes by. The idea of the films has even grown to where, it has different series. You can see it on my website, which is aemerson.artspan.com. aemerson.artspan.com. And you can look up Mai Productions, MAIIPRODUCION. And find it about the films that we're doing and why we're doing it, because it was the idea of bringing back the Dinepezad, the Navajo language, back to films and having schools and having people watch it and then be able to get the context in Navajo.
Well, I think you're hitting on something, you know, as I mentioned earlier, New Mexico and Albuquerque. I mean, even the hot air balloons have a big event out there, and it's so colorful. And I mean, you're in a spot where creativity seems to really, I don't know, it must be in the air. And we've got a couple of minutes. What are you working on now that people should be looking for?
Well, I'm getting ready for the Santa Fe New Market. I'm working on a 48 by 60 canvas, which is going to be acrylic painting of a carnival. We have our fairs in the area. We have the Winter Rock Fair in August. We're having the Western Fair in Crown Point this month. And then we're going to be going ending at Tuba City. So it really hits the four directions, which is a very important part of our culture here in the Navajos. And it's the part of where I want to show the involvement of family, community, people gathering together and celebrating who they are, where they've been, and what they are going to do in the future.
I love it. Anthony, real quick, give your contact info. We've got just less than a minute. So let's do that real quick right now in case somebody missed it earlier.
Well, I have two emails which they can get a hold of me. One of them is anthonyemerson@myctl.net. This is like mycenturylink.net. And then there's muttyproduction2024@gmail.com. Muttey is M-A-I-I, production, not productions. It has no S on it. 2024@gmail.com. The reason why it's 2024, because that was the date that we got the trademark put in for our film company, and that we're able to do our films and have everything kind of legally binded. That's a whole nother story to talk about on getting the process of how we can get our natives into films. I always tell people that we want to be able to tell our own stories, which we have been doing it for over 10,000 years. And that, you know, if they want to get more information, they can feel free to email me or even contact you to how to get a hold of me, because you have all my contacts.
I do. I got to let you go right now, buddy. Jake, Rural Matters, Anthony Emerson, New Mexico. God bless you. Thank you for reaching out. We'll talk again.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.